Greetings, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean. Website can be found at scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives. That's where you go to support this mission of truth. Well, welcome back to our series in the book of James, Faith and Works. And many of you have expressed that this series so far has been a huge blessing to you. And again, it's super, super timely in the face of lukewarm Christianity, in the face of greasy grace, in the face of those who take the grace and mercy of God and pervert it so that they can consume upon their own lust. James doesn't let you off the hook with that. Real quick, before I get into what today's topic is, just a reminder that this work is 100% listener supported. So if you're being blessed by this on a regular basis and you appreciate what's being done here, please consider supporting the mission by going to scriptureandprophecy.com and clicking on the Donate and Support tab at the top. Today, we are looking at Chapter 3. Which deals with a topic that we have talked about often. Let me start by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 11. Just one verse here. Which says, "Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better." A babbler is no better. James says something similar here in his very first chapter dealing with the tongue. And you've probably guessed now that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this idea of taming the tongue. And it's interesting because we have talked so much about this organically. It's just come up a lot in our Psalms and in our Proverbs, and we've went over it, how lack of control with your mouth is one of the most evil things that you can struggle with. Gossipers, the Bible talks about this so much, and it talks about it not in a good light at all. Warning against those who stir up trouble with their mouth. And you say, "Well, I wasn't trying to stir up trouble." Well, then why were you talking about whatever it was you were talking about and spreading rumors? Why do you feel the need to share everybody else's life that you think you're privy to with other people? That causes strife. If you overhear a conversation and you rush right away to tell what you heard, you're stirring up the pits of hell. The hell being a word used by James, as you'll see here in a moment. In James's opening chapter, he says, verse 26, chapter 1, "If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." Oh, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, but every day you're running your mouth. James is saying that religion is worthless. He's going to spit in this entire chapter, chapter 3. It's only 17 verses this morning. We're getting ready to get to it, don't worry. Beating this home in a very bold and unapologetic way. For some, this is going to be super convicting. And on some level, it's convicting to us all. Some of us may not struggle with gossip. We may not be the person in the office spreading rumors all day long, or within our own families. But maybe if we get pushed to a point, we pop off and we say things that are hurtful that we can't take back. Or maybe you say something inappropriate. you know, you have a thought. The thought itself is already kind of evil, and then it comes out of your mouth. Whatever it is, the point I think James wants us to take today, the warning rather, is that this is a very serious matter, and it's serious to God. And therefore, it should be serious to us. With that introduction, let's read these 17 verses, James chapter 3. The first two verses are warning about something else. Let's read those real quick, talk about it for a second, and then we'll get into the whole tongue. The book of James chapter 3, King James Bible, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend, not in word, the same as a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. So please note, before he gets deep into his conversation about the tongue, the first thing he says is, be not many teachers, be not many masters. Why? He says we, putting himself in that same category, we will receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. So there's kind of a, to me when I read this, there's twofold. There's the sense in which there's a great cost to being a teacher. You're going to offend a lot of people. It's going to cause you troubles in this life, and I have certainly experienced that in the 10, 11 years I've been doing this. I've certainly experienced that. I've lost opportunities. I've offended people, friends, family, you know, work stuff. There's a cost to it. I also think that there's a cost spiritually, and what I mean is people who teach, who have an audience, who influence others, you know, we're not perfect, you know, nobody's a perfect person. You may say things that are wrong. You may lead people in the wrong way. There's a sense in which there's a greater condemnation and a greater judgment, I would say, from God himself on Judgment Day, when we all have to stand and give an account. And so James is saying, hey, don't, I wouldn't necessarily seek this out, I think is what he's saying. This is something that, you know, God puts on you, but don't be desiring necessarily to be in a position like this, because with it comes some of these problems. John Wesley says, be not many teachers. Let no more of you take this upon you than God thrust out, seeing that it is hard not to offend in speaking much. So the more you talk, the more you're in a position where people are listening, the more opportunities you have to offend. All right. Now we're starting with verse 3, and the rest of this is about the tongue. Open up your hearts. Let's see what the Word of God has to say to you this morning, starting with verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of a fierce wind, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath not been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine or figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of the good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. So please note, let's stop there at verse 13. And let's work through this. A lot here said about the tongue. He said, and he makes this, he points out this analogy. He's like, think about how big a ship is. And yet the direction of the ship is altered by such a small piece of it. So is kind of like the human being. The tongue being one of the smallest members of the body, and yet it kindleth such great fire. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. The dangers of the tongue. And remember, James, because he's a your actions demonstrate what you believe type of guy, right? He's like, you can't be doing this, but also say you have this great religion. Right? Don't tell me how you're a Christian and how you know, but then you go to work and all you do, your main goal for the day is to get as much juicy dirt on everybody as you can and then spread it around the office or, you know, family or, you know, wherever it is. I use the office because that's such a great and common place for gossip. He equates it to the fires of hell. He says even, you know, all beasts, like birds and serpents and things in the sea, can be tamed. But the tongue can no man tame. It is so evil, so full of deadly poison. With our tongue, we can do so many things. We can bless God, right? It says, therewith we bless God, even the Father. We can also curse the men which are made in the image of God. With our mouth proceedeth both blessings and cursings. And he's saying, these things should not be so. Just like a fountain cannot produce both sweet water and bitter. And a fig tree can't bear olives. Again, he's pointing to what? Actions demonstrate what you truly believe. He's kind of talking in the same way that Jesus talks about how a good tree can't bear bad fruit, bad tree can't bear good fruit. The fruit tells us everything we need to know about what we truly believe. If we can't control our tongue, which is a supernatural gift from God, because aside from that, no man can, right? That's why James says you can tame animals, even beasts out of the sea, but no man can tame his tongue. Let me give you a little bit of commentary from Matthew Henry, and then we'll read the last like five verses. I pray you're being blessed. I know I'm talking more of this broadcast than normal, but the goal of this series is to really get to the heart of it. Here's what Matthew Henry says about verses 1 through 12, dealing with the tongue. He says, we are taught to dread an unruly tongue as one of the greatest evils. The affairs of mankind are thrown into confusion by the tongues of men. Every age of the world and every condition of life, private or public, affords examples of this. Hell has more to do with promoting the fire of the tongue than men generally think. Whenever men's tongues are employed in sinful ways, they are set on the fires of hell. No man can tame the tongue without divine grace and assistance. The apostle does not represent it as impossible, but as extremely difficult. Now, what Matthew Henry is going to say here is very interesting and very true. So if you're somebody who's getting older, listen closely. Other sins decay with age. This many times gets worse. We grow more forward and fretful as natural strength decays, and the days come on which we have no pleasure. When other sins are tamed and subdued by the infirmities of age, the spirit often grows more tart, nature being drawn down by the dregs, and the words used become more passionate. You see, Matthew Henry's pointing out that, hey, you know, some of the things you struggle with as you're younger, you know, maybe the lust of the flesh, as an example, that one gets a little easier to subdue, to bring under control as you get older, because biologically, you know, your body's changing and hormones are changing and everything else. But unfortunately, the tongue has potential to get even worse. Let it not be so with us. Let it not be so with God's people. Let's get these last few verses. James says there's great wisdom in being able to keep your mouth shut. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of the good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That is strong language from James. See, he equates running your mouth with bitterness and strife, which is really what it is. Can you believe so-and-so? They're doing this. So-and-so's getting a divorce. So-and-so's doing that. Right? Or maybe they're envious. So-and-so got a promotion, but I know that they don't do this or they don't do that. James is saying, that stuff is earthly, is sensual, and frankly demonic. Why is that? Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Last two verses. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see, people who have a wisdom from above, they're not trying to cause strife and confusion and through gossip. They're usually the peacemakers, right? They're like, yeah, I heard about so-and-so, but you know, mercy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What did Jesus say? Blessed are the peacemakers. I hope that today's study has been a blessing to you. And I hope that the work that's being done here is a blessing to you. We're on this broadcast, we're talking about things you don't hear in many churches. Many churches could use chapter 3 here, because the gossip is happening in the church just as often as it's happening in the office and everywhere else. Let us be a people that are not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.